after the timeout. Holnett will now try again. A 42-yard field goal out of the hold of Austin Fisher. There's the snap and hold. Kick on the way by Nett. End over end. And it is good!
Dix. Marquis Murdoch. In motion. He's got the football now. Across the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Iowa State.
This is Down the Pipe and Natty Light.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. As always, I'm your host, Levi Stevenson, joined once again by my co-hosts, Cole Netton and Margie Murdoch. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic.
So, going good. It's good to be back.
Been a long time.
It's been a hot minute since we put out an episode.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
But, you know, it's been a pretty quiet summer. Like, there just hasn't been that much to talk about. You know, aside from a few recruiting deals, but I mean, other than that, there's not much. That's how it gets in summer, though. Yeah, but this isn't even an especially boring summer. Like, there's just nothing.
Right.
There's nothing.
Ooh, like, I saw Brock Purdy at Okoboji.
Yeah.
At Party Cove.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Actually, we did finally get our big controversy of the summer with the Charlie Kohler spaghetti scandal.
What is Okoboji?
Okoboji?
Oh,
it's a big lake. It's a big party lake up in Northwest Iowa.
Oh,
it's like got bars all the way around it. People go out on boats and get hammered.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big deal.
What was this spaghetti thing?
Okay, so this week there was Big 12 Media Days, and Breece Hall and Greg Eisworth were down there. And I think, I don't know who asked him, but I think Travis Hines might have asked him about something. I don't remember. I still don't know what the question actually was, but apparently Greg Eisworth told Travis that Charlie Kohler eats things with his fingers that people don't ordinarily eat with his fingers. Like spaghetti was the one he brought up.
There's no way.
So I tweeted at Charlie and said, can you confirm or deny the rumor? And he told me in like the early afternoon, he said, oh, sorry, it's not true, but I might do that going forward. And then late last night. Cause this all happened yesterday. Wednesday. So yesterday when we're recording this, but late last night, Jake Hummel tweeted a couple pictures at our Wide Right account.
Charlie eating
spaghetti with his fingers. He was eating spaghetti out of a bowl with his bare ass hands. The reaction has been a giant mess of confusion, fear, panic. Some people doing it. At least this one person, Aaron Kirtley, tweeted out a picture of herself eating a plate of spaghetti and meatballs with her hands in solidarity with Charlie.
That's hilarious.
So I'm going to do that
and then make my spaghetti an elf spaghetti and put syrup and candy.
Yeah. Well, I think I tweeted out last night when I first saw this when I first saw it, I think I tweeted it. I was like, Charlie just saw elf and decided that's how I eat food now. But I tweeted out a joke. I wrote a joke article today earlier. It says, like, controversy surrounds the Iowa State football program as Charlie Kohler spaghetti scandal is uncovered.
That's funny.
So it's a whole deal. That's like the biggest scandal of the summer so far, is that Charlie Kohler eats spaghetti with his hands. And that's how you know the times are good at Iowa State. That and stealing 4-star defensive tackles from Iowa.
Yes.
In Hunter Deo. So, you know, times are good.
That's bad. Times are good.
Times are good. And speaking of times being good, we are inching ever closer to the season. We're just about 2 weeks away, just a shade over 2 weeks away from the start of training camp, which is very cool. Probably not as fun for the players, but it's fun for us that don't have to be part of it. We'll definitely keep doing that. But for the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to be doing opponent previews. So we're going to look at three opponents each week, talking about them a little bit, about personnel, kind of what the team looks like, and what how they match up with Iowa State. So this week obviously is going to be you and I, then Iowa and UNLV for the first three games, and then we'll just go three games at a time. But before we get into all of that, we should say thank you to our sponsors, our friends over at Sassmar Grill Names. They have been there with us from the beginning. They're doing their Taco Tuesday special still, their Burger Wednesday. They have FAC specials on Friday afternoons. They still have their 11-3 all you can eat tacos for $8 every single day. Another exciting thing coming up at Sass is August 7th. We tweeted this out, I announced it a couple weeks ago. But August 7th, we are kind of having our pseudo, because we were supposed to have a 10th anniversary party last year that got canceled because of COVID. And we are kind of having an 11 and a half anniversary, whatever. It's going to be just a fun party to Sass. We have the AHF mugs, the Actually Helping Farmers Sass mugs that get you a $4 Busch Light mugs anytime you show up, not just on mug night. If you show up at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday with this AHF mug, they will fill that baby up with Busch Light for $4. And, we will also have specials on the Estachos, whatever the Estas nachos, that Saturday night as well. I think we're also going to have some merchandise. We'll have a couple t-shirts there and maybe some koozies or something. And then actually I still have my grand prize that I originally ordered, and actually it's been sitting in my closet for a year and a half now, is a big beer pong table that's got a big AHF logo on it, and it's got a special wide red natty light balls, and the cups say had the AHF logo on it and everything. It's pretty sweet actually, and I've had it sitting there for a while, so we'll give that away as well. But that's August 7th. I think we're gonna get there probably about 6-7 o'clock, something like that. Everyone can come eat some good food, have some good cold drinks, hang out with us. We'll already probably be drunk because we're having a cookout at Matt Nelson's that day. So we'll probably already be hammered by the time we get to Estas, but that's okay. You guys can come and hang out with us and probably walk away with some good prizes and some good food and good beer. So keep that on your calendars. August 7th, it's a Saturday. Okay. So I guess we can probably get right into it. First game of the season is against the UNI Panthers, which I know we've talked about it before, and I know I've mentioned it before on a few different other podcasts that I've been on, is that I don't like playing UNI. I don't want to do it. They make me nervous. Doesn't matter if UNI is terrible and we're awesome. Doesn't matter. UNI terrifies me. I don't like playing them. I don't know if you guys are in the same boat or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the same boat.
Because you guys, you guys were both on that 2016 team that lost to UNI in Matt Campbell's first ever game.
That is correct.
I was in a hotel in Iceland at 4 a.m. watching that.
That was the last time I played UNI. So good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously, UNI is always a really tough out. They're one of the best they're consistently one of the best programs in the FCS. And I don't really expect that to change for this fall. Now, it's worth noting, though, that UNI did not play a 2020 fall season. UNI played football this past spring, in February, March, or something like that. They played 7 games, went 3-4. They beat Youngstown State, Western Illinois, and then beat number 15 Illinois State. They lost to number 5 South Dakota State, number 10 Southern Illinois, Missouri State, and number 2 North Dakota State. So, the losses they piled up were to mostly pretty good teams. I think Missouri State's a pretty good program too, actually. But a largely uninspiring record there. But if you look at kind of their team stats, they put up only 19 and a half points a game. Only as a team averaged 3 yards per carry in the running game, which is not good. It's really not good. And then only 30% on third down completions, which is also very bad. and just seven yards per attempt passing, which is also not very good. And if anybody will remember from the 2019 game, part of the reason that that game was such a problem and so annoying was their freshman quarterback, Will McIlvain, decided to be Johnny Manziel for his first ever college start and just ran around and just caused problems to everybody. And, let's see here. So Will McIlvain started 5 out of 7 games, last season. I think he was hurt for 2 games because the 2 games he didn't play, were like the 5th and 6th games or something like that. Like I think he must have been hurt. But for his 5 games that he played, 5 starts, he finished with 51% completions, 1 touchdown pass, 2 interceptions, a total of 39 carries for 2 yards per carry. Now that will include sacks. So the yards per carry is a little bit skewed, but, 51% completions and a whole 1 touchdown pass in 5 starts does not scream a lot of success for me. I don't know. I still have it stuck in my head of what Will McIlvain was in 2019, mm-hmm. where he's running around all over the place and he's a giant pain in the ass. But am I crazy for still being like, I don't trust this because it was a weird season. They're playing in the spring.
No, not at all.
I don't trust it. I don't know about you, March, but
I just feel like,
March might have froze just a little bit there.
how do you feel, March?
He just feels so. March will come back in at some point.
No matter who, there's always somebody who just is against Iowa State with you and I. No matter who it is,
yeah, it was David Johnson. It was David Johnson that 1 year, and then it was.
Somebody just decided.
Was it Aaron Bailey? I think it was the quarterback's name. Like the year, like the next time we played him, and then I don't remember who it was in 2016. Maybe that was the Aaron Bailey year.
Yes,
I don't remember.
It's gonna happen. We just don't know who it's gonna be.
There's gonna be somebody that's gonna show up and be just somebody. A giant thorn in our side, and it's just what it's gonna be.
Absolutely.
Because I've always thought of you and I as like a Kansas State light.
Yes.
Where they
be somebody we don't expect to.
It's gonna be somebody you don't expect. They're just super fundamentally sound. They don't beat themselves. They just kind of go out and do their thing. And that's what worries me, is because you have to, like, if you make a lot of mistakes, they can make you pay for mistakes. Mm-hmm. That being said, Will McIlvain, assuming he is the starter for this season, I don't know for sure. I would assume he is. He started 5 games last year. He started the last game. He started the first and last games. Now, what's interesting, though, is that their backup quarterback, Justin Fombi, had 63% completions, which is much more respectable. 1 touchdown and 1 interception in 2 games. So I don't take either of those for what it's worth, I guess. I don't know. Without watching those games, it's hard to know exactly what any of that is. Essentially, basically didn't try to run the ball at all, because he had 9 rushes for -6.4 yards per carry, which is, you know, that since that includes sacks, you know, a good chunk of those are probably sacks. He essentially didn't even try to run the ball. So Will McIlvain is kind of a dual threat, but his passing threat is just not really there. And the other guy is not a dual threat at all. So to me, the passing game isn't anything you're going to be worried about, but the passing game is never the thing you're worried about with you and I.
Right.
It's a running game and it's their offensive line, but they lost Spencer Brown, that big ass left tackle. He's in the NFL now.
Good.
And they had 2 running backs last year that went over 50 carries. So their Tyler Hoosman was 89 carries for 4.2 yards per carry and 6 touchdowns. So definitely kind of their primary back got the most carries. 4.2 yards per carry isn't lighting the world on fire, but it's not like, it's not terrible. It's not terrible.
Respectable.
I mean, that's about where David Montgomery hung around for most of his career. But so it's not terrible, but it's not, it's definitely not lighting the world on fire. And then the backup, Dom Williams, 69 carries for 3.6 yards per carry, which is, again, I mean, that's less good. That's getting the bet where you're definitely below average. And I would, you're probably venturing on, you know, poor territory.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's kind of where it's the running game is. You and I's running game is kind of the whole thing. I don't know. March, what do you make of this with, you know, the quarterbacks can't complete a damn pass and they don't do anything. And the running backs are have average stats, but like we were, Cole and I were talking about, you know, who doesn't, you know, what's going on here? March is giving me hand signals in the Zoom and I can't.
You're talking about you and I?
Yes, we're talking about you and I. I was March had to leave, the Zoom call and hop back in, and he was trying to give me hand signals, and I was trying to just answer my question just so he'd just start talking.
I know people are trying to imagine my hand signals. yeah, they were superb, by the way. But what I wanted to say was, I don't really know what's going on, but we were talking about you and I. And
yeah, because you know the quarterbacks.
Because
we're
talking about the spring the last time.
Yeah, their offensive stats were not good. I mean, less than 20 points a game, 3 right. yards per carry as a team, 30% third downs. Will McIlvain is 51% completions. Their lead running back is 4.2 yards a carry. Like, those are all, like, not good stats. Those are bad stats.
Honestly, this is probably the most confident I've been going into a U and I game.
That's fair.
I completely agree with you.
I think this is probably the most confident going into a game. That doesn't mean anything, but it does. I feel like the players are confident. They've faced Will McIlvain. Is it McIlvain?
Or McIlvain. Yeah.
McIlvain. My bad. And, you know, the last time we played him, obviously we had like a double, triple overtime game or whatever it was. And he just scrambled crazy.
Yep.
I know that drove Coach Haycock crazy. So
I guarantee it. Yeah.
That I don't expect him to basically be able to just escape the pocket like that, especially with Will McDonald on one side. If he does scramble, I think they're going to be well aware of which side Will's on. Will could be huge. He could probably have a breakout game if he can get pass rushing in early. He could probably have a multi-sack, maybe 3-sack type of game. But, yeah, I mean, and obviously I think the big key is they just played in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're, even though it's still a break,
I was going to get your thoughts on that. I mean,
football twice in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's, you know, maybe not early on.
Now they did only play 7 games. Plus,
they're about to do training camp as well.
Yeah, but a game is so much different than practice.
Sure.
That's a lot of body. That's a lot of, you know, bump and grinding they've been doing since probably what, January?
So you think,
do you think it's bad? Because I think it's good for them.
I don't think it's good at all because
I'm torn on this because it could be good because they've played football more recently,
right?
But they also got a bunch of wear and tear in spring that may not have healed up.
Exactly. I mean, if somebody's hurt,
all summer to heal up.
Yeah, but
depends. It's a lot of bye weeks.
You know, I don't know how many
a knee injury is not going to heal up between March and September.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And even like a thing like a, you know, an ankle sprain. I mean, that doesn't just go away. You know, you need a full year to get your body all the way together. You know, like you need that full year just.
Well, and even if you have it, you're going to be sitting over. It's going to be healing over, you know, say whatever a month or two in the spring. You know, so you can't even work out until June, whereas the other team has been fresh and working out since January.
Usually, the national championship is what, like the second week of January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and most of the teams in the Division One, they're already done. You know, they played in their bowl game or they played in, you know, the last playoff game a week ago. Mm-hmm. So they've already gotten time off. And then they kind of slowly build up, as Cole knows. You slowly build up into the spring. You kind of want to get good things out of it in the spring, but you're not going hard like you are in training camp. But what they were doing was they were playing They were practicing hard. They had to have a training camp to get ready for the season. Not even to mention that they were probably training during the, you know, while the actual Power Five teams are playing, you know, and they were training in the offseason too. So that was a lot of wear and tear they've just done this past year. I don't, you know, you may not necessarily see it in the first game because obviously with the adrenaline, but I think it will take a toll on them. I mean, playing seven games, even taking a break, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And I know for me, to be honest, if I was in a situation to where I would have to play, you know, in the winter, I guess you could say, going into the spring, you know, that's a tough decision on playing twice in 1 year. I don't think people really understand, like, even though there is a gap in between, like some nicks and injuries take it almost mm-hmm. takes a full year to really develop. So now they're maybe not, you know, as healed as they would be if they had the full year. And so that's kind of the thing for me. I think we have an advantage. We're well rested. We were done the first week of January. I don't see Will McIlvaine being a problem just because of we've gotten more speed off the edge. And I think we can have guys that can run with them now and even have guys that can contain them and keep them in a box to where, you know, we'll be able to get sacks or disrupt the play, especially at front. And then obviously, you know, it's not like they have guys that, you know, they usually have one or two guys on the offensive end that can, you know, either make a big play or take it to distance, you know, and from what it looks like, they don't really have that. So that's, you know, it's going to be easier to defend them. But we all know you and I is going to be ready to go. They're going to play tough. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect it to be like, you know, 60 to like, you know, 10 or something like we did Texas Tech. But I expect dominance early on. Like you could just tell. We're the better team. We dominate. You know, there may be a few hiccups here and there. I mean, I don't expect us to be perfect, but I think we're so dominant. I mean, I can't remember an Iowa State team that brought this much back. So I mean, I think the guys are really just ready to go. The only thing I'd be concerned about is guys looking ahead to week two. And just not coming out fast. Cause I think if we come out fast, that's where they kind of like, you know, they're not going to bow down, but if it starts early on, you kind of take the wheel from them early on instead of letting it linger how we did a couple years ago. And ultimately it got to the point where they're like, we're going to win this game. And honestly, they were a recovery fumble away at the goal line mm-hmm. from winning. You know? So it's, you know, we know the battles that we have with you and I, and it's going to be tough. That's why in this game, it's always key for us to whoever comes out fast early on and looks more in sync, usually, you mm-hmm. know, controls the game.
And I would say it's really got to focus on not beating themselves in this game. It's from turnovers and penalties. I mean, if you give you and I a window to take advantage mm-hmm. of a mistake, they will take advantage of it and they will make you pay yep. for it. And they just need to not do that. You know, whether it's on special teams and it's covering kickoffs and punts, or it's, you know, or it's avoiding penalties, which Campbell teams are very good at not getting penalized and generally good and not fumbling the ball. Interceptions are dependent on the quarterback, but generally speaking, fairly good at limiting turnovers and very good at limiting penalties, but they have to do that on this one. Mm-hmm. There's no reason like Brock Purdy can't be throwing two or three picks. He can't, mm-hmm. it's just not, it can't, mm-hmm. that can't happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell you something. He can't do it because he's got a dog behind him.
Yep. There's, I mean, he's got those guys. He's got the tight ends. There's no reason
the worst thing that could come out of the game, to be honest, besides losing, is if Brock doesn't look good. He's got to look sharp. He's got to look sharp.
Well, it's the first game of the season. I don't think he has to be perfect, but it's...
No, I don't. I mean, he's not going to be perfect, but he's got to look sharp. There's got to be a demand of, all right, this is what, year four?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the...
Year
like,
something, year like, lot.
You know, like, this is my show now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Breece is the...
I think he's got to drop his nuts this year.
Well, Breece... Really Breece is the Breece is the centerpiece of the offense. I think what happened last year though is you saw early on that when Brock tries to do too much is when he gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's why he had that problem against Louisiana. He had that problem in the first half against Baylor last year. You know, when he tries to do too much is when we get into trouble. When he has an opportunity to sit back and be Alex Smith, to be a game manager, get the ball to your receivers, get the ball to your running back, let them do their thing. That's what you got to do. Now, Brock Purdy is not a game manager quarterback. That's not how he plays. But when he's allowed to play that role within his own style of play, that's when Brock Purdy is at his best. Mm-hmm. When he can be relaxed, when he's having fun, when he's loose, when he's not forcing stuff into bad places, when he's not doing dumb stuff, you know, he knows that he's got a bell cow back there that they can give him 30 carries a game and it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. And they've got the offensive line to do it. They've got the depth at running back to do that. He's obviously got 1,000 tight ends he can throw to. Mm-hmm. You know, Tariq will be healthy. He doesn't have to do everything on his own. And if Brock is playing loose and relaxed in that first game, I'm not worried about it. Against more difficult opponents, he may have to make more plays. But early on, especially against you and I, there's no reason to be forcing stuff. You want him to play with a calm sense of urgency. Like you want him to have a plan for everything and be purposeful with everything he does, saying I'm doing this, I'm not just improvising everything. I have a plan. This is what's happening. But you don't want him to get rushed, and you don't want him to start forcing things. So you want him to play with urgency.
Smooth as fast.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly,
but I also think I don't see what I mean by dropping his nuts. I don't really mean by him just being out of control.
Sure.
You could drop your nuts by being the most control guy. What I mean by dropping your nuts, which I know is weird. But
you've now said that four times in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. Please tell me what you mean.
What do you mean by dropping your nuts?
So like when your quarterback has command, like I want to give an example, like Joe Burrow, when LSU.
Yeah, like when you walk into the room.
When he walks in, when he jogs onto that field, I don't think Breece needs to be the bell cow. I don't think for Iowa State to possibly make the playoff, I 100% don't believe Breece needs to be the best player. I think it needs to be Brock Purdy. And the reason is because if we know Breece, what he can do, but you can game plan Breece. You can game plan against him. If you put 8-9 in the box, because we can't throw the football, we're not able to make reads, we're not able to, you know, pick up blitzes and all that. Mm-hmm. We're in deep trouble. It doesn't matter if has 200 and some yards with 30 carries. We're in deep trouble. I think Brock Purdy has to be the best player on our offense. And it can't be close. I think Breece is a dog. He's arguably a top back, if not the best back in the country, but the best back in the country is not going to win you a championship. It's going to be a quarterback.
Right.
Brock being good opens up the running game.
Breece being good keeps the floor high where he can keep you in a lot of games. He can keep your floor high. Brock being good makes your ceiling high.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I mean. I mean by, you know, that terminology.
Right.
I think if he goes out there kind of like a Joe Burrow in 2019, it was like after they beat Texas, it was like, he's the dude.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I think, obviously, we're talking about you and I, but we know the hump that we're about to talk about. When he steps on that, when he steps on the field, he has to be the guy. He has to be in control. He has to be in command of the offense. Nothing in year four, nothing should surprise you, especially in conference play. You've seen it so many times. It's just, you know what I'm saying? But we're playing you and I. You've played you and I before. You're in year four. You know, this is where he kind of separates himself from the years past. Now it's a lot mental, I think, with his game, because I think he has the tools with the running, the escapability, the improvising, making plays, also just staying in the pocket and making nice throws. He's got a lot of moments where he makes good throws in the pocket, even under pressure. But now he's got to. It can't be lapses like he did versus Baylor where he throws three picks, you know? Mm-hmm. He has to always be the guy that's in control. Now, obviously, he's going to make mistakes here and there. We don't expect him to be perfect. And that's when you lean on a guy like Breece Hall to take you home. I think Brock could be the guy in the first 3.5 quarters to, you know, get us there. And then, especially against those good teams, I think Breece, you know, finishes and takes us home a lot of times in games. And another thing, wide receiver position is the most important going into camp. I mean, if the wide receivers are doing their jobs, it makes Brock's life so easy. Mm. You know, it doesn't even matter if he's, you know, rattled, because I think, obviously, in years this past year and the year before, we had trouble with, you know, receivers basically, you know, having that number one receiver. And I think we think we know who he is, but we've got multiple guys that could be, you know, we need multiple guys that can look like, hey, you know, Joe Skates could possibly be the one. And then, you know, Hutchinson could probably be the one. It's got to be those type of things going on, especially to help out Brock. My bad.
In a lot of the same things extend to when we get to the second game, which is Iowa, because you have to basically, whatever you're going to do against you and I, you've got to do that perfectly against Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa's interesting because they're probably going to be a top 20 ish team. You know, probably right around the 15 to 25 range. Could be as high as maybe like 18. I don't think they're gonna be a lot higher than that, but they could be. I don't know. Personally, I think Iowa is being overrated. I say that not as a homer. I really do think that they're like. So, starting quarterback is Spencer Petras, which Ooh. Spencer Petras
exactly.
That's a good yeah. Chris like. Chris Hassel, who is like is a true blue Iowa fan, he referred to Spencer Petras as a broken jugs machine. He passed for 57% last year, 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, and
he played
in 8 games. Yeah,
yeah.
He's a starter. He wasn't good.
I don't even remember Iowa playing last year.
Fair enough. He was not good. I've not come across one single Iowa fan that is excited about him. Pro Football Focus really did him dirty the other day when they came out with, they ranked every single starting quarterback in the FBS, and he came in 112. 112.
Oh, my. Ouch.
Out of 124 or whatever it is, 112. Like, you cannot convince me that there is a top 20 team in the country has the 112th best quarterback. There's no way.
I would agree.
So then you look at the rest of their offense. So Tyler Goodson's their running back. He's a good player. I'm not gonna. I have no problem. I have nothing against Tyler Goodson. I think he's a good player. He had 5.3 yards a carry last year, 7 touchdowns in 8 games. caught 15 balls. So he gets a lot of, carries. Mekhi Sargent's their backup. He was another, he got quite a few carries last year as well. 76 carries, for 5.7 apiece. It's the Iowa running game. You know,
yep.
It's zone concepts. It's zone blocking concepts, outside zone, inside zone. They're going to go through about six different running backs every year because they always have three or four of them that's hurt at some point or time. Like Tyler Goodson and Mekhi Sargent will probably both be hurt at some point this season because they just always are. Because Iowa can't keep running backs healthy. So the Iowa running game is probably it's the Iowa running game. They're just going to do what they do. But beyond that, you look, I mean, Spencer Petras is not a good quarterback. Maybe he takes a step forward, but he's not right now. He's not a good quarterback. You look at their pass catchers. So obviously the tight end is a big part of the Iowa offense. They have Sam Laporta, who seems like a certainly a fine tight end. I wouldn't like, he's not as good as like, as the guys they've had in the past, like TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant, you know, George Kittle, stuff like that, which is funny. George Kittle got hurt so much. He didn't like, you barely remember him being at Iowa. And then he just kind of showed up. He's not as good as the tight ends they've had, but he seems like they're perfectly fine with throwing it to him. They lost a couple of big receivers to the NFL, like Emir Smith Marset. You know, so their number one receiver is probably, I don't know, Nico Reganey, Tyrone Tracy. I think Tyrone Tracy's still there. Those are your two receivers. They Brody Brecht, he's a freshman at Ankeny. He did not get selected in the MLB draft, so he is going to Iowa to play football and baseball. He's like a 6'3 receiver. I think he's pretty good. I don't know if he's going to be, I don't know what they do with him. He's a receiver at Iowa, so I mean, really, what's his ceiling?
Oh my God, Alan Lazard.
Is it receiver at Iowa, not from Iowa?
Oh. Look, I will say this. Oh, I thought you said from Iowa.
No, like, at ooh. Iowa. No, I'm not going to do Allen like that. I'm not going to do Allen like that.
No, I just, the only thing I can really say about this game is, I mean, if there aren't eight in the box the first play of the game,
yeah, what are we doing?
I mean, this game.
I think we lost Marchie's audio there for a second.
Hello?
Yeah, we're good. We got you now.
Hello. I think this game honestly is pure man to man. We're loading the box, shoot every gap. Linebackers, we need you smart on the draw plays, because if I will lose it if they score or have a huge play on a draw.
If we see Tyler Goodson doing an Akram Wadley impression, I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have an issue.
I'm going to have an issue.
I'm going to have a brain.
On third and longs, it's like 40% draw. Or yep. Excuse me, not a draw, a screen. Mm-hmm. They're going to do some type of screen concept. It's golden. Or they're going to play action boot and swing guy one way while everybody's going another. Like they're not that good when you break Iowa down, when you make them one dimensional, they can't be one dimensional.
I mean, to put it plainly, I'm not scared of anybody on this Iowa offense.
Nothing.
There's nobody on this offense that scared me. They have the center, I can't remember his name now. Tyler Linderbaum. He's probably the best center in America, which is fine. That's one out of five offensive linemen. That's good. Mm-hmm. And it's the one in the middle, which, you know, it's good to have a center, but you know, you need to have tackles and shit like that to run the ball. And I'm sure the Iowa offensive line will be good. I'm sure they'll be at least decent just because they're the Iowa offensive line. They just always are good. But you know, and Tyler Goodson's a good player, but he's not lighting the world. He's not as good as Breece. And you could probably argue that Jarrell Brock's every bit as good as him. But there's no pass catcher that you're like, ah, shit. Like last time Iowa came and they had like Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson, you're like, okay, these guys are a little bit of a problem and you don't know what to do with those guys. Well, these guys are like, Sam Laporta is not striking fear into the hearts of anybody. Nobody on that offense is. I don't see any. I don't think the defense will be looking at that game as like, ah, shit. How do we stop Iowa? You stop Iowa by stopping the run game.
For you and I, and say that I'm very confident in this year for Iowa too.
The whole trick becomes. I mean, to me, the whole key becomes how does Iowa State move the ball against Iowa? Because their defense is probably going to be solid. Their defensive line lost a lot. They lost a lot of people on the defense, especially Davion Nixon. They lost a linebacker and a defensive back, I think. You know, they've got good corners. Their defensive backs are always good, so their corners are good. So Xavier Hutchinson is probably going to have the toughest game. That'll be the toughest game he's played. Those are the best corners that he'll play against.
Their defensive backs are not good. Oh my god.
Dude, they put corners in the NFL like it's their job, man.
They put in two corners in the last 30 years. They are not good. They are food. Look. Honestly, they're food. Look, the defense, the only thing
I knew you wouldn't be okay with me talking about
offensive
corners.
Line. If my receivers can't get past these guys, then we don't deserve.
Let's be honest here.
Look, Desmond King was a dog, and they had
Josh Jackson was good.
Josh Jackson and Micah Hyde
was really good before.
Micah Hyde was really good. Other than that, everybody's been average. They don't have, not DBU. It's not like we're playing LSU Tigers. It's not like we're playing Alabama. It's not like we're playing Ohio State.
Yeah.
They're regular. Look, go out there and destroy them. It's crazy. We have better DBs. We do.
I mean, Iowa State is better on offense and defense. They're better on both sides of the ball.
We're better
as long as we don't shit. As long as we don't shit the bed on special teams, we're gonna be fine. Which could be a possibility. Well, it's worth noting that Andrew Meavis, the new place kicker, can put shit out of the end zone without even trying.
Yes,
that dude's got an absolute fucking bomb. He's got a rocket launcher for a right leg. Mm-hmm. There's a reasonable chance that it doesn't even just hit the end zone. It goes out of the back of the end zone on kickoffs.
The key to this whole game is the defense literally stopping the run. Just stop the run. Mm-hmm. You stop the run.
You make Spencer Petras beat you, and you're in a good state. Yeah.
I guarantee you, if you stop the run and make them throw, especially on third and longs, you're going to get at least 2 to 3 picks. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Now, because that crowd's going to be rocking, by the way.
Oh,
that crowd.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Two, offensively, all we got to do, if we're able to pass the ball, we win. It's easy. Because if they're focused on stopping our pass, guess who we have in the backfield?
Yeah, the linebackers are going to have to make a decision on whether they're going to deal with the tight ends or they're going to deal with Breece Hall, because you can't do both.
Right.
You just can't do both.
Imagine if the receivers are getting open.
If Xavier's getting open, if Tariq is getting open, actually a guy that he keeps popping up all over the place is Jalen Noel. That guy, he's a true freshman, but he keeps showing up as a guy that's going to get like DeShante Jones type of run.
Perfect. Look, we throw the ball and we're successful and Brock looks comfortable in the pocket. If we block and we're able to pass the ball, they can't beat us. They cannot beat us. But if we're forced to get one dimensional and into a running type of matchup to where, we're running with Breece and all that stuff, then it could cause us some problems. Because that's what Iowa's used to. If you look at the games Iowa struggles in, the teams are able to spread them out and move the ball up the field through the air. They're not just running the football down the middle.
Right. You're not going to out Iowa.
Yeah. The only team that could do that is Wisconsin.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
That's the only team that can do that on Iowa.
I mean, if you put it this way, I mean, outside of maybe defensive back, there's the only position on the entirety of the starting 22 that Iowa has an advantage is their center is better than our center. Mm-hmm. But because they have the first best center and we have maybe the second best center in the country. Like that's the advantage they have is they have the best center and we have the second best center. Like that's like Colin Newell is probably he's definitely a top five in the country at his position. Probably he might be second or third. He's really good. And So, I mean, especially when you're going up, when I was on offense and I would say it's on defense, you got to look to try, to me, you got to really look to try to get Will McDonald loose on in that game. Because if Spencer Petras is trying to run away from Will McDonald, he's going to have a bad time. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a real bad time if Spencer Petras is trying to run away from Will McDonald. Like everybody else who tries to run away from him, they're going to have a bad time. And Spencer Petras is going to have a worse time because he's not Sam Ehlinger, or he's not Spencer Rattler, or whoever that can kind of run away because they're kind of quick and they can run. Mm-hmm. Spencer Petras can't run. He can't. Mm-mm. He just can't run. He's a statue.
You give that guy pressure, he's out.
He's gone. Like,
which is why if we get him on third and longs, we shouldn't even have to worry about him being able to scramble up.
If you put Iowa in negative plays, they're going to be in deep shit.
So if it's third and long, you literally put your horses out there on the edge and you say, you tell them pin their ears back and go get them and go
if it's third and nine, third and ten, you can drop eight and just tell Will McDonald just go get some shit.
You tell the linebackers drop to the first down marker and
sit there.
Read his eyes.
Yeah.
Tell the corners and the safeties, these boys better not beat you deep. And these gaps are not wide open for them.
Yeah. Putting Iowa in down and long situations, getting negative plays is gonna take them out of the game really fast. They just don't have the personnel to make that up.
I'm still not confident in this game because
it's Iowa.
There's just always some wild stuff happening.
There's going to be something stupid.
This is the most confident.
I'm pretty confident.
I feel pretty good about it. I got to be honest.
We'll see.
I know I'm a homer of the highest degree, but I just genuinely don't see anybody on this entire Iowa roster. On either side of the ball, I don't see anybody on the entire roster. I'm like, shit, what are we going to do about him?
Yeah.
Well, like,
the only way we lose is if we completely beat ourselves.
Like Iowa has to look and say, shit, what do we do about Charlie Kohler? What do we do about Breece Hall? What do we do about Xavier Hutchinson? Yeah. On the other side, how do you deal with Will McDonald? What do you do about Mike Rose? What do you do about Greg Eisworth? What do you do about Ashim Young? Who's
double
Tyler Goodson's probably going to catch a screen pass and Ashim Young is going to send him into the fucking netherworld. What do you do with all that?
Look, I don't know how Iowa does it, but somehow, some way, it's like
the
stars align and they just figure it out.
They do.
So this isn't, I'm not too confident, but I'm more confident than I've ever been.
I'm not overconfident, but I am confident.
I mean, this I'm is pretty probably the most. I mean, the most confident I ever was because I just knew we were gonna win was 2 years ago, and we all know what happened.
Yeah,
and it was on college game day, and then this year it could potentially be on college game day.
It won't be on college game day this year.
No,
no chance.
I mean, and you never know that it could be a top 10, top 15 matchup.
And I mean, it'll be a ranked matchup for the first time, I think, ever, or second time maybe. But it won't be in college game day because that weekend is because that game is on 9/11, and I believe Air Force and Navy play each other that day. So I'm pretty sure they'll probably be at that game.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Well, guess what? We're 2:30 on ABC.
3:30 now.
Oh.
Dang it! That 3:30 kind of
3:30
is dark, man. That's why I need it to be a blowout.
That's what I'm saying, when we were last in 2019, when that game was finishing under the lights, Cy-Hawk deserves to be under the lights. Cy-Hawk should be a night game.
I agree.
I think Cy-Hawk should be a night game.
I like the 2:30.
It's
at least to where it goes into the nighttime. So 3:30 is cool.
3:30 will get over about 7:30.
Yeah,
and
then that gives me enough time to get to Des Moines.
That gives you enough time to get back and do it and everything. But then you're finishing under the lights or where it's just the sun starting to go down. I think I think that fourth quarter is going to be electric, and it's going to be awesome. And I hope we're just absolutely
electric.
I hope that it's not electric because we're just absolutely piss pounding them. That's where I'm.
Everybody, yeah.
Well, nobody gonna leave. Nobody's gonna leave.
Missing that celebration. It's gonna be packed.
Yeah, there ain't nobody 70 leaving.
70-3.
we could be up a full ass 10 to we could be Texas Teching them and nobody's gonna leave. Like,
we'll possibly you know, at halftime we'll possibly be just starting our podcast so we can just have it already finished. Yeah, we're up. Oh, we just scored again, but that's not probably gonna happen because they always find a way to slow us down. But
yep.
I will say this: defense stop the run, make them one dimensional, like every year. And then offense, I mean, move the ball through the air, make sure you can protect Brock, make sure he's comfortable. You win the game. You win by at least two touchdowns.
So let's move on to our third game. There's not a lot to talk about on this one. It's UNLV.
This team sucks.
They're real bad. They're really bad. They
this is the best three teams in a long time that Iowa State has a very good chance of absolutely smoking all three and just
starting UNLV
hot. Trap game.
UNLV went 0-6 last year, and they went 0-6. They didn't win a game last year. They gave up 38 points a game. They only scored 17 themselves. They lost by 28 to San Diego State. They lost by 18 to Nevada. They lost by 13 to Fresno State. They lost by 17 to San Jose State. They lost by 31 to Wyoming, and they lost by 17 to Hawaii. Hawaii, San Jose State, and Fresno State were all really shitty last year. They sucked real bad. Wyoming, I think, was actually okay. Nevada's probably okay. San Diego State's probably fine. They were really, really bad last year. If you look, I'm going to see if I can pull up their actual, I'm trying to find their actual team statistics here. Game logs. That's what I want. Okay. So they averaged a whole, let me see if I averaged 4.7 yards a play, which is not a lot. They averaged, where's my rushing? There it is, 3.9 yards. They actually averaged less yard. Oh, they averaged less than 4 yards a carry on offense. And I mean, they're super bad. They gave up. They gave up 7.2 yards a play on defense, 6.4 yards a carry on in the rushing game. And like,
that's not good.
They're so bad. Their best player is Justin Rogers. If you remember, he was a TCU's quarterback for a little bit, and then he transferred to UNLV. He'll be their starter. He's easily their best player. So he's probably gonna be fine. But the rest of that team is really, really bad. I mean, you're saying trap game, but man, this almost feels trap proof. Like, they're so bad.
It's trap game. Trap.
They're
game.
So
trap game,
bad.
Trap game. I feel like Nick Saban when he
you
said,
and I would be a touchdown favorite.
You guys are like rat poison. You guys are like rat poison. you media guys, look, this is a trap game. I understand how shitty they were, but
I don't think you do.
Yeah, I do. this is a game where kind of like you and I, but this is probably the – it's not – let me think. Like, you want to come out fast versus this team, like you and I.
On average, they got outgained by 150 yards last year.
Don't care. They were 0-6 last year.
Yeah, they were.
I'm expecting them to come out hungry. Top 10 team. We've seen stuff like this happen. Let's not act like, you know, we haven't, you know.
I know. I know.
I think UNLV will fight. And
the problem is UNLV is going to be playing an away fight. Game. UNLV is going to be playing a road game.
Yeah. No. I know Cyclone fans are going to be.
Just about everybody I know is going out to that game.
Vegas, and I know I heard some people are gonna be out there the whole week.
My parents are going to the Cy-Hawk game and driving to Las Vegas straight from the game.
Yeah, so
from the Iowa game.
Vegas is gonna they're gonna be very, very happy when the Cyclones come in town. But look, it's a trap game. Especially if we're 2-0, you know, we're gonna be high and mighty, we're gonna think we're the shit. And this is a game where probably Coach Campbell probably goes ballistic on the sideline. Just early on, he could just see the most simplest thing. This is definitely a game where he's going to, especially for 2-0, he's going to go crazy for no reason. We're probably going to be up 30. He's going to be crazy. But, yeah, this is a trap game. But I expect us to win by more than 30. I mean, if we can't beat these guys, or if it's even close, like, that's a disappointment. Just being honest.
I don't remember what the Vegas line is on it right now, but I think it's like 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think this game is just, look, this is the type of game where you kind of just hand the ball off like we're just better than them. You know, Brees just
you just crazy. Oregon them. You just yeah, take the ball away.
We're not even going to give them a chance. Brees, hold on to the ball. Make sure you find the hole. Make sure you find it and do your thing. Oh, we're going to play action here to, you know, so-and-so. Or we're going to play action here to Charlie. And, you know, I think that game plan is going to be really simple. Like, a lot of times we kind of complicate things, like, all right, versus this team, we should just run this play because, you know, just to see how this looks. Like, no, man, just the simple plays, zone reads, you know, we're bigger than them. Use it. I mean, that's just the type of game I just feel it's going to be. It's going to be like one of those, like, even the Cyclone fans are going to be like, if you're not at the game, you're probably going to be like, man, if you're at the game, you're probably going to be at the casino by halftime. And then if you're not watching the game, you're probably going to be watching something else. It's going to be one of those games where, like, oh, maybe I can, you know, see Hunter Deckers get in and throw for 3 touchdowns as well. So, you know, it's going to be one of those type of games. It might even be a good game for the freshmen to get some good experience in that haven't played at that point or something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I don't expect.
UNLV is just
close.
They're so bad. That, like, the S&P Plus last year, they were the second worst team in the FBS.
Yeah.
They were worse than Kansas.
Trap game, but this game should be a blowout.
It better be a blowout. Honestly.
Even 30, winning by 30 is kind of like,
30 is enough. Because at that point, you're talking about, like, you're just relying on having game time to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about UNLV. Honestly, don't even know anything about these first 3 teams.
The only player of note on the entire UNLV roster is Justin Rogers, and that was because he was a transfer from TCU as a quarterback. But he actually wasn't even their starter last year. Max Gilliam was. He was 60% completions for 5.3 yards and per attempt. He was 5-4 touchdown interception. Not great. I mean, it's not like terrible, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, UNLV is they're going to struggle. I mean, they lost by an average of 3 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, we're going to give them a lot of money in Vegas. That's going to be their victory.
If I don't know, Vegas is enough of a tourist city. I'm not sure. This will be our toughest test yet to make a dent in this city. Easily. I mean, until Iowa State plays at Tulane in 2029 or 2030 in New Orleans.
Iowa State plays at Tulane?
Yeah, like 2029, I think, maybe. They play at Tulane.
Oh, my God, I'm there.
I'm 100% going. I'm definitely going to that game.
Bourbon Street's going to be it.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be like Memphis or San Antonio where we can put a dent in that city. Las Vegas is famous for having parties. I mean, like, they are famous for being able to do what we do. So, like, I don't think that
playing in the Raiders stadium.
Yeah,
man, that thing's gonna be packed with Cyclone fans.
No, it's not, because UNLV is not allowing it to be packed because they're not opening up the upper. They're not opening up the upper bowl. It's only the lower bowl that's getting filled.
Well, it's going to be packed in the lower bowl. Like,
it'll be.
It's probably going to be like
It'll definitely be a Cyclone crowd. I would guess it'll probably be at least 65-70% Iowa State fans, I would guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be an awesome atmosphere.
Dang, man. That's a game that I would want to be playing in. Like I played in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty cool. I'm hoping it's just a game that we go out, have some fun in Vegas, watch Iowa State kick the shit out of somebody.
I mean, honestly, I'm jealous of your parents. Like, could you imagine that feeling? Like, we just beat Iowa.
Now we're just heading straight out to Las Vegas.
Pretty sure they're going to storm the field. They're probably lit.
They won't storm the field. If we beat Iowa, we ain't storming the field.
No.
I don't know, man.
I mean, if it's like a walk-off field goal, then all bets are off. But if they just beat them, then no.
I don't know. It's a trophy game.
I mean, it is, but I would say it's also going to be a top 10 team, and Iowa is not.
Either way,
true.
Winning in Iowa or winning against Iowa and then literally leaving.
Going straight to Vegas.
There's no way they're leaving that night.
They're leaving.
Somebody's not drinking.
After the game, they'll probably stay in Des Moines or Omaha that night and then drive from there. I don't know what their plan is.
Yeah, so somebody's going to have to be.
Well, you just stop drinking at the beginning of the game. You have plenty of time to sober off.
When does a Stevenson ever not drink? So that, I've met your parents.
That's
so
fair enough. Yeah.
That looks like they'll be leaving the next morning.
They might have to get an Uber.
They're going straight to Vegas?
Straight to Vegas. They're not going home between the Iowa game and Las Vegas. God. They're going straight there.
That is going to be crazy.
That's intense.
They're going to be there for a week. I hope they don't.
They're kind of zigzagging around through Utah and stuff like that. Like they're kind of taking their time to get out there, because I get out there on Thursday, so they won't get out there till Thursday. But
I wish I could go, man.
It's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
Cole, I'm assuming. I know you're probably on baby duty. I'm just guessing you're probably not going out.
Don't have a plan right now, so no.
Yeah, see, right now you'd be shit out of luck to get plane tickets. They're basically all sold out.
Say.
You'd be stuck driving if you wanted to go now.
Yep.
And getting a ticket in general would be tricky now. You'd have to you'd have to go through StubHub probably. But all right, fellas, I think we're ready to wrap her up for tonight. Yeah, anything else you want to add?
Nothing.
Nope.
Excited.
All right. So we'll be back again next week with our next three teams, which are, Baylor, somebody, and I don't know, Baylor and two other people, Kansas and somebody. We'll be back talking about those three teams, whoever they are, next week. So everybody, thank you once again for listening to episode Down the Pipe of Natty Light. For Cole and Marchie, I'm Levi. Everybody have a great rest of your week. Go Cyclones.